The North Sound Energy Week with Active Payroll. Become part of an award-winning team. Go to activepayroll.com/careers for your next move.
Hello and welcome to the North Sound Energy Week podcast. I'm Finlay Duncan. This week, the UK government wants to hear from industry on the future of North Sea oil and gas, big job cuts announced at Chevron, and further warnings about drilling activity. But first, an Aberdeen energy consultancy says it's had a successful start to the year. ADIL's won contracts worth more than £3 million across its operations in the Granite City and London in the first 6 months of 2014. The firm's seen the most significant growth in its capital office and across its operations and improvements division. It reported a 50% rise in revenue for the year 2013-14. The number of complaints being made about gas and electricity companies has reached an all-time high. The Energy Ombudsman says issues with billing and transferring accounts are among the biggest gripes. A consultation on how the oil and gas industry is taxed is being welcomed by the industry. There have been growing calls for more stability in the system, which would help boost exploration and investment. It follows the Wood Review into the sector, which looked at how to get the most out of the North Sea. Mike Tolan from Oil and Gas UK spoke to my colleague Joe Onber.
Well, obviously, Oil and Gas UK are pleased to see that we're now entered the consultation phase on looking at the North Sea's oil and gas tax regime. For us, we heard first about the review and the budget, and we've been obviously keen to take part since then. And it will be a good opportunity for us to, I think, make our case for some pretty radical changes.
So what kind of questions are going to be asked of oil and gas firms?
Well, the basic questions are going to be, is the regime in the UK competitive? Is it actually a good, strong signal for investment? And frankly, is it suited to an industry now which is 40 years old and seen layer of complexity upon layer of complexity in the tax regime?
Is that the main problem, though, just the complexity and the different allowances we have and the different rates?
The biggest single problem is that the regime is no longer attracting investment at the right rate. It was designed for a different era, and there have been continual band-aid solutions to what we've got. And what the government now needs to do, and indeed what it's looking at, is try and find a way for a cleaner, fresher, simpler regime, which is a good, strong signal for investment, and obviously allows the returns needed both by the investor and by government.
And do you think that the Treasury has to admit that it's going to get less out of the North Sea than it perhaps has done in previous years?
I think the Treasury has both to admit that the days of the mega tax returns to the Treasury are over, but also to recognise what has been a fact anyway. We're seeing tax from the North Sea diminish to just under £4 billion this coming year to the UK exchequer. And that's the nature of things. Costs have risen a lot. There's some very strong investment. And all these things mean that tax returns are low.
A project which aims to cut the cost of offshore wind is getting money from the Scottish Government. Ministers are investing £2.2 million into the Carbon Trust's Offshore Wind Accelerator programme. It's a joint industry and government scheme, bringing together 9 developers. It aims to reduce by 10% the costs of such schemes. An oil and gas skills award scheme has been launched this week. Backers of Peto and are searching across the UK for the people who raise the bar on the energy sector's skills agenda. Nominations are now open and can be made by the candidate's respective college. A prize-giving ceremony will be held in November during National Oil and Gas Skills Week. Operators in the North Sea are being urged to capitalise on falling rig rates. During a briefing to operators in London by AGR, delegates heard a softening rig market means operators need to grasp the opportunity to secure a rig for their drilling projects. Costs are apparently significantly lower than the high rates seen recently. It was this week announced more than 200 oil jobs have been cut in Aberdeen. Chevron say employees, contractors and foreign workers will all be affected. The US energy firm says it's still focused on key North Sea assets, including the Rosebank development near Shetland. James Milne from recruitment firm Eden Scott says while the sector is still booming, bosses are feeling the pinch.
I guess that there's obviously been a variety of press out in the market recently. And I guess probably my particular view is that these sort of announcements, obviously, you don't want to hear them, but at the same time, I believe, the whole market isn't boom, but likewise, it's not bust, and I can actually see it as a sort of positive correction, a positive market correction fundamentally. you know, when we're considering, you know, the costs to produce a barrel of oil from the North Sea this year in comparison to before, that obviously staffing and operational costs have been going up. But ultimately, you know, it's a market correction more than anything else.
Yes, I mean, how do Eden Scott see the market at the moment? Because we've been talking a lot about a skill shortage or a difficulty in attracting people in. Is that still the case?
Yeah, I think that, you know, you hear a lot of reports in regards to the oil and gas skills gap. It's my belief that that oil and gas skills gap continues to provide challenges for a lot of Aberdeen-based firms. But there's a variety of initiatives that are aiming to reduce this and welcome new talent. Plus, you know, one of the key factors that would be indicative that it's still there is the amount of firms spending heavily on staff training amid reports of this continued skills shortage. And, you know, that to me is indicative of that it's still there. Plus, we know from how we operate within the market that our problem is consistently finding talent, and that's continuing, yes.
The North Sound Energy Week with Active Payroll. Become part of an award-winning team. Go to activepayroll.com/careers for your next move.
£15 million is being spent by the UK government on setting up a new regulator for North Sea oil and gas. The body, recommended in a review by Cerean Woods, will eventually be paid for by the industry itself. Firms had been expected to foot the bill for the first 5 years themselves. David Mundell, the Scotland Office Minister, says they want to get it up and running as soon as possible.
We want to implement the recommendations of the Wood Review as quickly as possible. It set out a clear basis on which we can try and maximise the production and take from the North Sea in respect of oil and gas. We've accepted the recommendations and we just want to get on with the job. So we've come forward with £15 million of funding over a five-year period to get the regulator up and running. In the long term, the industry are going to fund it. But it's very important, having announced that it's going to be based here in Aberdeen, with a recruitment process to bring in a world-class chief executive, it's just very important to get the structures in place, and that's why we believe committing this funding is the next important step in making sure that the authority is up and running as quickly as possible, as effective as possible, and succeeds in the objective of maximising the resources that continue to be in the North Sea.
What benefits will this regulator provide for the industry?
I think Sir Ian made it clear that there had to be a sort of arm's length body from government and industry that could actually identify how the maximum benefit could be drawn from the North Sea, ensure particularly that everybody worked together, not at cross purposes, to achieve the maximum amount of production and cut through a lot of the sort of red tape and bureaucracy that maybe had been holding back certain developments. So I think it's a vital component in a range of recommendations, which Sir Ian, as one of the most respected authorities, not just in the North East in respect of oil and gas, but globally, made in terms of the development. And we want to just make sure that his report is implemented in full, and this is a very important step in ensuring that happens.
An Aberdeen-based offshore drilling firms want a major contract in Africa. KCA Deutag's two-year deal with Angolan national oil company Sonangol is worth just under £100 million. It will see them provide drilling services at a number of offshore sites. An offshore wind farm down south has been given the go-ahead. The Rampion project off the coast of Sussex has been given consent from the UK government. It's expected to support more than 750 jobs and bring in more than £2 billion of investment. It's hoped it'll generate enough electricity to power around 450,000 homes once it's completed. The UK government's guaranteeing a £230 million loan for Europe's largest ethane storage tank to be built at Grangemouth. It means work can get underway immediately, with hopes hundreds of jobs will be safeguarded. Treasury Chief Secretary Danny Alexander and Holyrood's Energy Minister Fergus Ewing says it's a huge boost after threats to close the INEOS plant last year.
It was clear then that INEOS wanted to make further investment in the plant. This guarantee enables them to take it forward.
This guarantee funding supported by taxpayers, and the announcement today will enable the plant to continue to operate efficiently in a very competitive market.
A report says rising operating costs and awaiting the outcomes of the Wood Review are two possible causes for a big fall in North Sea drilling activity. Deloitte says just 7 wells were drilled on the UK continental shelf in the second quarter of this year. That's down from 12 at the start of 2014 and 17 over the same period in 2013. Derek Henderson from the firm says the upcoming independence referendum wasn't on the agenda.
I think one of the first things to say is that this is a snapshot of activity in the UKCS and therefore shouldn't be taken necessarily as a long-term trend or anything like that. But it is fair to say that, you know, year on year in comparison to the last quarter, we have seen this drop, and it's a marked drop. The reasons for that, well, there could be several. There's no doubt that cost pressures continue within the UKCS. Our business is just a little bit more hesitant about taking forward projects until some of those issues are addressed. And we have the whole Wood Review and Fiscal Review that's going on at the moment as well. And therefore, what will the landscape look like over time? It should be a more positive landscape, but businesses might well feel the need to just wait and see a little bit and pull back on activity until there's a bit more clarity around that.
In terms of holding back, I mean, we've seen rising operating costs be an issue for a wee while now. There's been firms talking about cutting contractor costs. Do you think firms are doing enough to maybe cut their costs, or that enough is being done by authorities perhaps to cut these costs?
I think it's a very good question, and I think that some of that has come out through the interviews that led into the Wood Review. This whole business of industry needing to collaborate more, to be more of a tripartite dialogue between the new regulator, between HM Treasury and the industry, all of that needs to gear up if the best result is to be achieved longer term.
Just lastly, you're saying that perhaps firms are looking at what maybe the outcomes of the Wood Review will be. Have there been any discussions about the independence referendum having an impact on drilling activity?
None that I'm aware of. I think the industry focus would be much more around these commercial drivers, operational drivers, which are very real, have been around for a while, but this is definitely a point where they need to be addressed.
And rounding off the week, a £10 million fund being made available by the Department for Energy and Climate Change to help business cut energy costs. It's hoped it'll improve efficiency and reduce energy demand among firms. Westminster Energy Secretary Ed Davies also announced plans he hopes will remove barriers to investment in energy infrastructure. Don't forget, for the latest news from the energy sector, tune into our special North Sound Energy Bulletins each weekday morning during Greggsy at Breakfast and the Robin Galloway Breakfast Show. But that's it for this week. This has been the North Sound Energy Week podcast. I'm Finlay Duncan.
The North Sound Energy Week with Active Payroll. Become part of an award-winning team. Go to activepayroll.com/careers for your next move.